Good morning, Agape. How are you doing? It is a great day. Really excited to be with you this morning and to be able to share God's word with you. And so let's pray and get started. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to share your word from across the world, Father. And we just thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the message that you have for today. And we just pray that you would speak through me. We pray that those listening would have ears to hear, and that we will be able to take away something from this message that would help us to grow, to become more like you in our daily walk. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but my 2024 started off very busy. And I feel like when things start off really busy, it's really easy to lose sight of our goals. So it's February, almost, you know, we're towards the end of February, at least past the halfway mark. And so where are you at with your goals? That's kind of my first question. We talked last month about the four D's of discipline. Are you on any of them? Have you made any progress? Are there any steps forward? And if not, that's okay. For me, it has been basically maintaining, which is good. I've learned through the course of my life that a lot of times the most effective things and the things that bring the most success, the things that bring the most success in life are the boring, mundane, doing the same thing over and over until you see results. And so, you know, if you want to get into better shape, whether it's dieting or whether it's exercising, basically it's boring. You can eat the same foods that are good for you. Even if you spice them up differently, it seems like it's kind of boring. You do the same exercise, you know, you go out and you exercise however many days that you do. It's just the same thing over and over again. If you want to grow spiritually, it's the same thing. Sometimes it can get monotonous. Sometimes it can get boring. Sometimes it cannot be interesting, which I know that's another way of saying boring, but it's more fun when it's something new, when it's something fresh. And a lot of times if I've gone a couple days or a week without reading the Bible, when I come back, it's more fresh. It's like, well, I wish it was always like that. But the best way is to have that consistent, disciplined, you know, routine. But it's not that exciting. It's not that much fun. And what happens, and this is what I want to talk to you about, what I want to talk to you about today, is it's so easy for us to get distracted. Has anybody gotten distracted in the past month? I have. And it's not that distractions are bad per se, that they are bad things. But it's just things that take our attention away from what we're supposed to be doing. And sometimes work, especially as a missionary or as a pastor or as a parent, as a husband or wife, you know, as a human being that's living on this face, the face of this earth, then we need to be providing to society in a positive way. We need to be salt in our communities. Sometimes just existing requires a lot of work and a lot of time. Just going to work, just paying the bills, just doing, you know, I was thinking this last week, all I do over and over again is wash the same set of clothes, the same, you know, six or seven shirts and the same three pairs of jeans, and you just keep washing them. You just keep going through the same cycle. Pick up the same stuff every night, do the same dishes after dinner. It's just doing the same thing over and over again. And so I wanted to start with a verse in Psalm chapter 42. David says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" And this is a thing where David's asking himself, right? He's kind of reflecting himself. And I want you to pause for a moment and see if you, if your soul isn't maybe cast down a little bit. You know what I mean by that, right? Like, you're just like, you're down. You're mentally, like, I love the word that I love the fact that he used the word soul, because that's our mind, it's our will, it's our emotions. He's like, "Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you down in the dumps? Why are you Why are you frustrated? Why are you irritable? Has anybody been irritable? I have not been irritable, I don't think. But, you know, we get to be like that. We get to the point where we're like that sometimes. And I think we need to stop and pause and do what David is doing and is asking himself, he's asking his soul, why are you cast down? Why are you so disquieted within me? Why is it that I'm in this place? If you read on further, that's Psalm chapter 42, verse 11. The rest of that verse says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. David does an amazing thing in a lot of the Psalms where he poses kind of a question or a situation, or, you know, why is my soul cast down? Why am I in this place? Why have I been abandoned or whatever? And then he comes back with, but I hope in God. And that's where one of the reasons why it's important for us to be able to locate where we're at individually in our soul, in our flesh, and where we're at in life, is so that we can take the next step and put on that next sentence, but we hope in God. And so I think for my own self, one of the biggest obstacles is getting distracted. And I want to talk to you about distractions, right? We are consumed every day with a million things that we can be doing. We are consumed with social media. We're consumed with the news. We're consumed with, oh, everything. Not to mention the voice inside of our head. I mean that in a good way, in a healthy way, right? Our inner dialogue. Not that you're hearing voices, but you know, something small happens and our attention goes in, focuses on that. And I've noticed in my own life that there's times when I could have been spending all day worried about something because maybe it was an email that I read first thing in the morning, and it puts me, my soul gets cast down and I don't recognize it. And until I recognize it, I can't fix it. Until I recognize it, I can't take it to God, you know? And Peter says, cast your cares to him, for he cares for you. Well, when we don't realize that we have cares, or when we don't realize that we're worrying, it's hard to give those worries to him because we don't have the conscious understanding that we have that worry. And so one of the devil's tricks is to keep us distracted. And so what I do when I notice that maybe I'm getting to a place where I'm a bit more frustrated, I'm a bit more irritable, I'm a little bit like down a few notches in my soul and my mind and my thinking, a little bit negative. If I take notice to that, it's normally during a season when I have maybe taken a couple days and haven't read the Word, haven't worshiped, haven't journaled. You know, there's a mixture, kind of this concoction of some natural spiritual things, natural and spiritual things that I mix together. Exercise, journaling, those things really help me. But they never, I wrote a friend this past week. I said, man, I love how much journaling helps and all these things that we kind of do in the natural for our own self-care and to not get burned out and all this stuff. I said, but I'm amazed at how none of that can replace God's word and praying. Because there's been times in my life when I've been so focused on the natural and making sure I do everything in the natural that I forget about the spiritual. And doing all of the natural can only go so far. But when you add the spiritual side to that, the spiritual side meaning reading your Bible, doing those spiritual growth things, developing spiritually. I was thinking this morning during devotions, I was like, I need to memorize that verse. You know, my boys and I, we need to like memorize one verse a week just to keep things fresh, just to keep things where it's like right there. It's right. It's at the tip of our tongue so that we constantly have that there. You can never take away the power of praying, of worshiping, of reading God's word. And the devil knows this, and this is why he comes in and he wants to distract us. And I think one of the best examples of this There's a couple really good examples. One thing that the devil does is he causes us to doubt, right? And how does he do that? He can do it in a number of different ways. With Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he came to Eve and said, "Did God really say this?" And this is what I think happens to a lot of us. So I want to look at Garden of Eden and then also Peter walking on the water. And let's take a comparison and look at these things and how they work. And how does it relate to our life? Let's say God speaks to you. He says something to you. He gives you a word, right? Or you think that you've heard from God. You think that you know what God's direction for you is, what that next step is, or you've prayed for something and you know that that's going to happen because you have this confidence, because you have faith. You're like Peter. You're in the boat and you're like, "Jesus, if it's you, command me to come to you." And we do that in our life. "God, if this is your will, like, open the door, show me, make it real. Help me to see how you're providing all these things." And so Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Come." And so Peter starts to walk on water, starts doing an amazing thing, right? He is walking on water. And then what happens? I changed the verse of my Bible. In Matthew chapter 14. Let me just get there really fast. Verse 27. Is that right? Yeah. Verse 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" You know, there's times when I've been in transition and it's like, "Lord, if it's you, if that's what you want me to do, let me know. Like, you need to know, you need to talk to me, you need to say something, you need to speak to me, you need to make it clear that that's what you want me to do, that that's the step that you want me to take." And I believe that's what Peter is saying here. In verse 29, he says, "So he said, 'Come.'" Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" How many times in our life do we think we get a word from God and we take a couple of steps? And what happens? The wind gets really boisterous. And what happens? We become afraid. We become afraid because we begin to doubt. We begin to doubt what Jesus said. Did Jesus, you know, I can't imagine the inner dialogue that was going on in Peter's mind. Like, the first couple of steps, he's probably like, "What in the world? Like, are we getting this? Like, is this, are we rolling? You know, are we getting this? Is this going up on Instagram? Is this going up on whatever platform?" Because he's doing this amazing thing. And like, when we take those first initial steps to do what God's called us to do, it's kind of like that. It's exciting. It's new. It's we're in that like beginning phase where God spoke to us. And normally when it's God's will, something will happen. I remember my first missions trip. I wanted to go on a missions trip so bad. And I was like, man, I went with an organization back in the 90s and it was like $2,800. And I was like, there's no way I can raise $2,800. You know, I was in high school trying to save up for a car. Couldn't even save up for a car. And I hear I'm going to, you know, believe God for $2,800. And so I sent out a letter like most people do. And at church that next Sunday, somebody came up to me and gave me $250. And I remember when that happened, I was like, well, that's it. I'm going. Like, if this person who I didn't expect anything from can give me $250, God can get the rest to me. And we have those things when we take a step and then God responds. It's kind of like confirmation, like, yes. But here's the thing. Here's the deal. That is just the beginning. There is a long journey from, you know, there's that journey between when we say amen, when we ask for something and say amen, to the coming of fruition of that thing, to that thing coming into existence in our life. That time span is long sometimes. Sometimes it's only a couple of days, but it feels like months. And so that's where Peter is at. He's in that middle stage. He's in that middle ground. And the wind is boisterous, and he's beginning to get afraid. And, you know, I think that that's what happens with us. I don't think he began to be fearful until he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves, right? He didn't start getting fearful when Jesus said, come. But I can imagine him being halfway out in his inner dialogue being like, I wonder if Jesus meant come all the way. I wonder if Jesus meant just come a little bit and then go back on the boat. I wonder, you know, starting to doubt, starting to get afraid. Here's the wind. These waves are really big. What, you know, and I wonder if the same thing didn't happen to him that also happened to Adam and Eve, where the devil came to them and said, did God really say that you can't eat of this tree? Did God really say that you can't, you know, did God really say? And I bet you that was one thing that was in Peter's mind. But did he really? And that's definitely something that is in our mind. And what we need to do, what I think we need to do, is not get distracted. Peter took his eyes off Jesus, put his eyes on the waves, put his eyes on the wind. Every time that you put your focus on something that isn't from God, it could be anything. And I don't want to start listing things because it could be anything. Sometimes it's the distraction is getting a new car, moving to a new house. Sometimes the distraction is an argument that you had with your kids or some type of dissension there, some type of friction there. Sometimes it can just be things. And we forget. I was reminded of this yesterday. It had been too long since I'd calmed myself enough and set enough space for just 20 minutes that I could just sit and be silent and sit and just turn off the computer, turn off. And you know what's funny? That happened when I was extremely frustrated because I was renewing my work permit and someone forgot a document. So I sat there for 3 hours with almost nothing to do. But in that time, I was reminded, you haven't spent time just sitting with nothing to do. I used to do it in the morning. Sometimes I still do it in the morning. Sometimes I do it at night, just before going to bed. You just sit in silence and just kind of reflect on the day. You know, this seems counterintuitive, but the slower we are, the more holy we are, the more that God can speak with us. Everybody wants God to speak to them, right? You want God to speak to you. But here's what we have to do. There's two things. Mark chapter 4, with the parable of the sower, and Jesus talks about having ears to hear, let him hear. And then also Moses and the burning bush. So if I forget, remind me. You can't remind me because it's pre-recorded. But hopefully I won't forget. But here's the deal. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to get over there. Mark chapter 4. I know we've all heard this before. Mark chapter 4 is like such an amazing chapter in the Bible. Verse 23 starts out by saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. One thing I love about God, there is so much freedom in God. So much freedom in serving God. He's not like, hey, don't forget what I said. You know, I mean, there are some times where there's nice reminders, but here Jesus is saying, hey, anybody who has ear to hear, let him hear. Like, this is all here. It's freely here for you. And us now, because Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I can't tell you everything, but once I go to my Father, I'm going to send a helper and he will reveal all things to you. So right now we're sitting in a position where the Holy Spirit is ready and able and wanting to reveal so many things to us, but a lot of us don't have ears to hear. Why? Because we're too distracted with life. We're too distracted with the waves. We're too distracted because, well, if this happens, we get fearful. What if I take this step and it doesn't work out? What if I do this and I fail? What if, what if, what if? What we have to do is we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we have to have willing ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And it's not always an audible voice. You know, we don't have that luxury like Peter did of Jesus said, come. Or Moses, where God spoke to him. We don't have those audible voices. We do have the Holy Spirit. And so when we do this, You know, in Acts chapter 16, Paul talks about how, you know, he uses the verbiage of, it seemed good to us to go to such and such place. He doesn't say God spoke to him. He said it seemed good. Like in our spirits, it seemed like that was a good idea. You know, a couple verses later, they're like, the Holy Spirit forbid them. I believe it was from going into Asia. And then that night, God spoke to him in a dream. Like there's all these things where it wasn't just one thing that happened. We're always looking for the miraculous. Sometimes we got to listen to the still small voice on the inside. Take those steps, and then the miraculous happens. Moses, we'll just jump into Moses. Moses, I wrote it down. Oh man, I wrote it down in my notes because I want to read it. And I think it's Exodus chapter 17. And it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Remember the flaming bush? Moses is up on the mountain in the wilderness, and there's this bush that's burning, but not burning. It says, so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Yes, seeing a bush burning that's not burning is kind of a strange thing that would probably catch all of our attention. But at the same time, I think it's very important what is put here in these verses is that he said to himself, I will now turn aside and go see. I'm going to turn my focus and I'm going to focus on this and kind of be curious, kind of like see what's going on. Why is this happening? This bush is burning, but it shouldn't be burning. Things like that. I believe God is doing things like that in our life, but we don't have the capacity to even notice it, let alone investigate it. I don't want to sound like weird and whatever, but man, this past week, and this has happened a couple different times, just strange things where it's almost like, yeah, it's like, so I'll tell you what's happened. It seems like I keep spending money, but my bank account's not going down that much. I'm like, praise the Lord. Like, you know, we got to get groceries. We got to put some stuff goes on the credit card, but my cash that's in my bank account here, I feel like, oh man, it's got to be like next to nothing left in there. I log onto my app and I'm like, oh, I only spent $60 the last couple of days. That's odd. That's low for all the traveling and groceries that I bought and all this sort of stuff. You know, sometimes things like that happen in our life. That's just a small example where we need to stop and take notice and go, hey, let's look at this a little bit more. Sometimes there's a leading, there's a guiding in our life, and it's there. There's peace, and we need to stop and go, hey, wait. When I'm pursuing this thing, I feel like I do lots of jobs. We need to notice when there's that sensing of, hey, I need to pause and I need to pay attention to this. Most of us are too distracted to even notice these things in our life, to even notice the burning bush. And sometimes, you know, there are opportunities in front of us and one day we finally see it and it's like, oh, that's been there the whole time. 6 months I've been worrying about this thing, and you know what? That answer has been there the whole time. I just never sat down and thought about it long enough. I'm experiencing that right now in something that I've been working on for probably about 8 months and sitting down. And sometimes you need to put things down and then pick it back up because you see it with fresh eyes. But it's like, oh, wait, well, there's a solution. I just needed to focus on it a little bit. And here's what Moses does. Everybody wants God to speak to them, right? Raise your hand if you want God to speak to you. Notice this. God doesn't speak to Moses until he puts his attention on that thing that God's doing. You got to find the thing that God's doing in your life and put your attention on it instead of arguing about the referees in the Super Bowl on Facebook. We have more things to do in life than that. Please, everybody in my Facebook feed, can you stop it? I'm just kidding. Not really. But those things, like, and I get drawn into those things and I get my opinion. I don't share it on Facebook. I'm a little bit wiser than that, a little bit. But I get drawn into it, and I'm like, yeah, what that guy said is right. And no, that, oh, come on. You know, we all do that inner, like, we all get wrapped up into that. And it distracts us. And we start putting our eyes on this, we put our eyes on that, and all of a sudden, we're not walking on the water anymore. We're sinking. When Moses turned his attention to the burning bush, and he said, I'm going to now turn aside. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to be curious. Verse 4, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. A lot of us don't have those moments where we can say, hey, God, here I am. Because we don't take the time to turn our focus onto the thing that God's doing. Find that. It could be something small. It could be within relationships. It could be within the church. It could be within business. It could be within family. God is doing something. And if you can find that thing and focus on it, God's going to speak. But God didn't, he didn't speak until Moses put his focus on him. And so with that, and Mark chapter 4, I want us to pay attention to whether or not we have ears to hear or not. Do we? And I think we should just be honest with ourselves. If we don't, we don't. If you've been distracted, just be honest. Just admit it. God, this last week, God, this last month, I've been so distracted. I've just been keeping my head above water. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. I'm going to carve out these times in the day when I can sit and just listen to what you're saying to me, where I can notice the good things that you're doing in my life. Sometimes with kids, you know, I have a teenager, and sometimes it's like there's some bickering and there's some back and forth. But if I stop and I pay attention, God's doing some amazing things in my son's life. But I get distracted because there's this carnal, fleshly part of the relationship of a teenager where there's attitude. And we get distracted by those things and we miss the thing that God's doing. And then God can't speak to us about our kids. Mark chapter 4, Jesus says this, verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. So this is my question. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? Are you hearing more bickering on Facebook about the Super Bowl than you are the scriptures today? I do sometimes. Unfortunately, what Jesus says is, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So here's good news and bad news. Well, before we get to that, let's just talk about the first part of this verse. Whatever measure you use, what this is saying is, whatever amount of focus and attention that you put onto that thing is going to determine the results that you get from it. It's almost like if you sow a lot of seed, you're going to get a lot of a harvest, right? And God's saying, hey, Jesus is saying, be careful what you're hearing. And then whatever you're hearing, whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're giving attention to, that thing is going to become greater in your life. If you're putting 90% of your attention onto carnal things, and only 10% of your attention on godly things, then the carnal things are going to get bigger. Why? Because it's going to consume you. And it's going to take up more of your time. And that little bit that you have, what God says here, he who has, or he who doesn't have, it will be taken away from him. There is this, in this verse, I think there's need for more investigation. But it's kind of like there's It's rapid, right? He who doesn't have, he's not going to have any more. It's just going to be continued to be taken away because you're going to be consumed with worldly things. But he who does have, even more is going to be given to him. In an exponential way. This is what happens when you start focusing on God. You start making sure that you're paying attention. You're hearing what he's saying. You have ears to hear. You're making changes when he says to make a change. That, if you're at zero right now, it doesn't take very long for you to get to 100. I guess, I don't know what, from 0 to 100. It doesn't take very long to get to the top max that God wants you to be at. And where you're cruising, where you're standing on top of the water, where you're more than a conqueror, where you're victorious in Christ Jesus. It doesn't take that long. If you have ears to hear, and if you're putting your focus on those things, and then once your focus is there, and you're quieting your mind, and you're going into the Holy of Holies, really, and you're able to commune and to spend time with God, He can take you from 0 to 100 extremely quickly. All Peter had to do when he was sinking was grab back onto Jesus, and he was walking on top of the water again. In some areas of your life, you feel like maybe you've sunk. Maybe your whole boat sunk. Guess what? That's okay, because Jesus is right there and He's reaching out and He's pulling all of us up out of the water, because we all have times when we doubt. We all have times when we get afraid. We all have times when we worry, and God's not so focused on that past. He's more focused on, have I repented from that today and said, God, let's get back into the right place of the place of faith. And let's go. Keep speaking to me. Keep showing me the way. Keep giving me the direction. Nobody that did anything amazing for God got one word from Him and then that was it. It was always a process. It was always a journey. It was always something where they're constantly looking for God's leading, for the Holy Spirit's leading, and for His hand. Go read Acts chapter 16. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit led Paul and how it forbid him and then met him in a dream, or revealed himself, the plan, in a dream. And all these things. But here's the deal. Some of you want high-level things from God. And we'll close with this verse. You want high-level things from God. But you're not mature enough yet to get it. You're not mature enough yet to hear it. Because later on in verse 4, or in chapter 4 of Mark, it says, and with many such parables, He spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. You want some high-level revelation from God? You're going to have to start responding to the low-level revelation of God in your life. You're not ready for some of the high-level stuff because you haven't been able to take those baby steps yet. Sometimes that milk of the Word, we think, oh, it's just milk. I want the meat of the Word. I want this amazing revelation. You still got to drink the milk. And you got to get through that phase. I love you guys. My time is up. I hope that you guys have an amazing, great week. Be blessed, and we will see you next month. And I want to hear a report. You can email me anything, anytime. About how it's going in your own personal life or the church. Love you guys. God bless you.